Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, and a very good morning to you. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and this is a, should we call it, Dr. Mixon, a Veterans Day weekend?
I know you get a day,
but hey, why not a whole weekend?
Right.
Yes, why not? And thank you, Dr. Mixon, for your service.
Long time ago, different life.
And yeah. Very special day for you. Very emotional day. I should say it is.
I have a lot of emotion tied up with this, and not so much for me, but for the friends who didn't get a chance to grow old.
Yeah,
you know, I had people die on either side of me, and I wish they were still around. I sometimes think I am pretty sure I am the last member of our team still kicking.
Well, God wasn't done with you yet. You have lots of people to help and several more in the years ahead.
Yep. Well, yeah. You know, the job I did involved extreme violence, and it's why I became a physician. My reaction to the extreme violence of my youth and the number of men that I killed was to go into medicine. Rather than drugs or alcohol or, you know, depression, I determined that I was going to spend the rest of my life making people's lives better. And I have now done that for almost 50 years, 48 years of medical practice. And, I hope to do it another 10 or 15 years. So, because I'm having a good time.
Yes, you are. Writing books.
Things are working well. Yeah.
Radio show, inventing things.
Well, yeah. I got supplements we're making, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We are actually looking at moving online a lot more in addition to the radio show. So, I've got the new video marketer who is now hired and working hard and is going to be here most of the month of November.
Wonderful.
Shooting lots and lots and lots of video to go online. So, yeah, it's great. And we've got our new website. It should go up this month, hopefully in the next week or 10 days. And then the videos that are being shot here as we're doing the radio show, those live videos can go on that website and people can go on to our website and see as well as hear the show.
That's right.
So, yeah, we got a lot going on.
Yeah. And you're not done yet. Oh, no.
Nope. Long way to go. Lots of stuff to still do. Although my wife assures me that on the day I do topple over and die, there will be at least 6 unfinished projects because I'm always starting new ones. Quick as the old ones get wrapped up, the new ones are started.
Something else to do. Yes. Yeah. You're never bored. That's for sure.
No, boredom is not my biggest problem.
No, not at all. So. Wonderful. Well, we're glad you're back this week. And Dr. Samira Umat is off this week. I hear she is gallivanting to another wedding.
Yes. Yeah, I'm losing track. But I don't know if this is the 5th or 6th wedding she's been to in the last 3 months. This one is done in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, she's done weddings up in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Then she went over towards Toronto to do weddings. She was in Chicago. Then she went to India for two weddings.
Yes.
Two weddings in 1 2-week period. And then now Mexico for another wedding. I have told her that I want her to finish marrying off all her friends and family so that she can get back to work and, you know, get some, help me get some stuff done here.
There we go. Good plan. All right. Okay. Well, Dr. Mixon is here to answer your questions. And a lot of you who called last week or the weeks before, if he was not here or you called in too late on the show, now is the time to get into our call queue. I'm going to give you that phone number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And that is the number to call. Let's get you in the call queue and start answering some questions about your health and longevity. Now, Dr. Mix, I know one of the questions or one of the things you are beginning to look at was a question we had last week, and that was on cold plunge therapy.
Yeah,
so maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you have found. I know you're diving in, but maybe just give us a little hint of what's
just getting
going
started.
On.
Well, one of my doctors, I had asked them for subjects they wanted to talk on. Because we are developing this online national presence, I want to not just have it be about me. I want to bring all of my doctors on. I want them to talk about things that are useful and productive. And one of my docs said, well, can I do a section on cold plunge therapies? And my answer was, I don't know much about cold plunge therapies. If you do, great. But remember, I'm not interested in cell cultures. I'm not interested in mouse and rat studies. What I want you to do is send me papers that show that the studies have been done in human beings and there are measurable, demonstrable, reliable results from what you're doing. And so last night, I received a whole slew of papers from him, and I guess I was, you know, reading at least the titles to some of these folks. Short-term head-out whole-body cold water immersion facilitates positive affect and increases interaction between large-scale brain networks, or the effect of acute cold exposure on energy metabolism and activity of brown adipose tissue in humans, a systematic review and meta-analysis. Or cold exposure protects from neuroinflammation through immunologic reprogramming. That looks like it could be a fun paper. Health effects of voluntary exposure to cold water are a continuing subject of debate. And then scientific evidence-based effects of hydrotherapy on various systems of the body, and they go on and on. He probably sent me 20 different journal articles. So my task for this weekend is to wade through all of those journal articles, evaluate them, and then assuming that they look like they're good data with reliable controls, tell him, yeah, come on in and teach us about it. So we may have sessions on cold water immersion therapies. Now, I got to admit, jumping into ice cold water is not high on my list of things to do. I go down January 1st frequently in Kirkland, and I watch the people doing the polar bear plunge. They come with their bathrobes and bathing suits and run out and leap into Lake Washington even when it's 35 degrees. I have to admit, I doubt their sanity. Not something I have ever really wanted to do.
I know.
I have people who say, you know, their approach is they take a really hot shower and then they turn off the hot water and let the ice cold water sluice over their now, you know, steaming hot bodies with open pores. And I say, okay, better you than me.
That doesn't sound good either.
But if there is indeed demonstrable health benefits from it, well, then we have to give it serious consideration.
Okay. You know,
I did not design the universe. My MD does not stand for major deity, okay? Not even minor deity. There's a whole lot of things about the way the universe works that I disapprove of. But I know God didn't ask my opinion when he was setting the system up. He has not seemed to be overly concerned with my opinion in any time since he set the system up. And I guess it's up to me to, you know, to act in accord to the realities of the universe, whether I like them or not.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's what we have to do. There are times when I'm pushing, pulling, lifting, you know, straining my muscles to work hard, that I'm not really having a lot of fun. There are days I really enjoy it, but there are days that no, it's I really wish I were sitting with a hot fudge sundae right now. Yes. My feet up, Bandine rubbing my scalp, listening to soft music. Why the hell am I lifting weight?
And jumping in an ice cold plunge.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
Oh, yeah, no.
But I've got a, you know, for those of you that don't know, I've got a gizmo in my office. I spend my life reading journal articles. I spend 5 or 6 hours every day of the week reading medical journal articles. And some of them are dry as desert sand. But I got to focus because sometimes there's great information in there. But after about 20 to 35 minutes of focusing on somebody that really doesn't know how to write decent prose, but they do good research, my head is getting fuzzy. I'm having trouble concentrating. So I've got a gizmo about 7 or 8 feet to the right of my desk. And it is a device that allows me to do almost all sorts of exercises. I can stand and do curls. It's a cable machine, but it uses electric motors instead of weights or rubber bands.
Okay.
And so I can do curls. I can do pulls with my hands in this position or this position or this position. I can do pull downs. I can do, you know, extensions and punches. And it keeps track of how much weight I'm moving.
Wow.
So let's say I've got 45 pounds in each hand and I do a particular exercise. That's 90 pounds, right? And
wow.
If I do it 10 times, that means I've moved 900 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
In the course of a given day, I typically move somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 35,000 pounds in one of my typical exercise workdays.
Whoa.
So in the process of reading journal articles for 5 or 6 hours, my brakes get probably an average of about 30,000 pounds a day of exercise.
Okay.
In addition to the 3 miles I do on the trail in the morning and the 2 miles I do in the evening with my wife. And so I'm averaging about 5 miles a day on the trail and about 30,000 pounds of muscular effort in the office.
Very good.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't always enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I do it because I'm old. And
yeah,
I want to get
a lot.
You
know, it's good for you.
I want to get a lot older.
Very
and
good.
And enjoy
yes.
myself while it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So. All right. Well, Dr. Mixon, we're going to take a quick break here. Leading Edge Medicine will return. Stay right there. We've got some calls. Thank you for listening. Living better, living longer, and strutting down that street.
Strutting on down.
Yeah,
right.
Strutting on down. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with Dr. Jerry Mixon today, and we're taking your calls at 206-421-5757.
But did you see the movie that song came from?
You know, I didn't until, like, recently, because I wasn't allowed to see it when I was a kid. And I thought, you know, I should see why I wasn't allowed. And, yeah.
Yeah, there's a good reason you weren't allowed.
That's right.
But,
great music, though.
Great music. But somehow, the guys in that show looked awfully wussy to me.
Yeah.
These are not the masculine men of my imagination or my youth.
And New Yorkers.
Yeah, the friends that I schlepped through the jungles with.
Yes.
They were manly men.
Yes.
The guys singing Staying Alive, all right, dude, maybe you stay alive.
Yeah. Your little white suit.
Yes.
And there
you
we
got
go.
It.
All right, well, we've got some questions for you. We are first headed to Gig Harbor and Gary on the line. Welcome, Gary, to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can I help?
Excuse me. I got two questions for you. One's right up your alley, and one might be a little bit of a sideline.
All right.
I'm approaching mid-70s, very active, work out a couple hours a day. My dad was an artist, and as he got into this age, he started getting tremors and had mm-hmm. to put down his brush and conograms.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting to the point where, well, I had to change a battery in my phone and I couldn't put the screws in because my hands were shaking, not badly, but enough. There was a little teeny screws I couldn't do. And I'm just concerned that tremors are sneaking up on me. My doctor said it's not Parkinson's. He did it his review.
Good.
So is there something nutritional I can do that help with tremors, or is it just something that happens with age?
Yes and yes. There are things you can do, and it is something that happens with age. So you've got a couple of positives here. The feedback loops in our muscles. You know, we have proprioceptors in our joints and in our distal tissues that tell us where they are. So you don't have to look to know where your feet are. You don't have to look to know where your hands are. You know, the joints and the muscular tensions will tell us. And our brain does a wonderful job of interpreting that. And then when you move, if you want to reach out and grasp this cup, the muscles directed by the brain say, okay, arm, shoulder, move this far. I take a look and make sure where the position is. Open these fingers, close it around, etc. And you don't have to think about it. It just happens. Okay, this is all autonomic. It's automated for us. But those loops that say, reach this way, now stop, close fingers, those loops get tired after a while, and the feedback becomes defective. And so it start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. It's kind of stuttering. And that's what you're seeing is a tremor. You're getting these little nerve impulses to the muscles that are not a constant smooth flow. And the feedback loop of where is it and how much pressure am I exerting are starting to become flawed. And so we develop these intentional tremors. When we're at rest, we don't have a tremor. And when we try to do something, that is when we start developing. And we call that an intentional tremor. And that is normal with age. It's just one more thing slowly wearing out. Now, there's a genetic component. Some people get it much earlier and get it much worse than other people. And so if your father had it, and if heaven forbid your mother also had it, I would be more concerned about you inheriting it because it is one of those things that we see. Are there things you can do about it? Yes. What we have to try to do is improve brain function as much as we can, but also improve hepatic function and improve cardiovascular function. With emphasis here on vascular, on the blood vessels themselves. You know, as we're aging, the reason that these things are starting to go bad is that the nutrition is getting spotty. The microcirculation, the tiny, tiny blood vessels that provide the nutrition for these nerves, both the peripheral nerves and the neurons in your head, are starting to go bad. The blood vessels are starting to get what we call endothelial dysfunction, the lining of the artery in those little vessels that are so tiny, the red blood cells go through in single file, one single file of red blood vessels. That's how small these vessels are. And when the lining gets rough or dysfunctional, then all of a sudden blood flow starts getting interrupted and spotty, and the tissues are not getting the gas exchange they need nor the nutrition they need. So anything we can do to improve the lining of our blood vessels so we get better blood flow, anything we can do to dilate those vessels to make them as big and round as they can, and that includes increasing our nitric oxide levels, increasing the health of those feedback loops, but improving the health of the neurons themselves, getting adequate omega-3 fatty acids and polyphenols like lutein and zeaxanthin into those vessels helps those nerves to function better longer and could actually help repair them. We've got pretty good studies on people in their 70s and 80s that can speed up and improve the accuracy of their cognition, but also of their muscular movements. So zeaxanthin, lutein, omega-3s are critically important. And as long as you don't overdo it, increasing the acetylcholine function, which is by adding things like acetylcholine, also helps. So there are a fair number of supplements that we can use to help that. And the reason I mention those particular ones are those are the ones that I have put into Think Factor, which is a supplement that will be coming out about the first of the year.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I wish it had come out back in April when I had originally planned it, but it didn't. So everything we can do to enhance the health and vitality of your cardiovascular tree and your peripheral nervous system and central nervous system can help tremors. Yeah. I've actually got an experiment that goes a little bit the other way. Since I started using the acetylcholine to make my brain function faster, I have found that if I take too much acetylcholine, I get a tremor.
Oh.
Intentional tremor. Because I'm overstimulating those nerves. Okay. So not only do I have enough to make my brain function fast and accurately, if I push it too far, I kick myself into tremors. So fortunately, skip the next dose, it goes away. But there's things we can do. There's things you should do. And, I'm happy to give you whatever guidance I can on it. It's up around 1,000 to no more than 3,000 of omega-3s a day, 2,000 or 3,000 milligrams of omega-3s a day, plus about 10 to 15 milligrams of lutein and 2 to 3 milligrams of zeaxanthin, 250 to 500 milligrams of acetylcholine. Those are kind of the formula that I would recommend to enhance that. But, you know, also, we have to decrease the inflammation in your brain. And estrogen and testosterone are both potent anti-inflammatories for the central nervous system. So raising both testosterone and estradiol levels in older people decreases the inflammation and decreases the risk of dementia. So, you know, those are good things to be doing too. Pregnenolone. Progesterone. Progesterone is a very potent brain healing hormone. I just had a long conversation with a neurologist about that yesterday. He's a guy who specializes in military brain injuries, blast injuries. Mm. Young men that have been too close to explosions and have had brain injury. And these are things that he is using with them, and especially the progesterone therapies. So there's a lot we can do to make our brains function better and to smooth out our muscular neurologic function. But it's probably not something I can give you all the answers for here on the radio. It'd probably be better if you were a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic and were working with one of our doctors on a regular basis. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. The second question might be a little quicker. You mentioned flu shots on the earlier show, and I had one that gave me Guillain-Barré syndrome. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It was the most painful thing I've ever had in my life, and it did a lot of nerve damage. A lot of things haven't recovered.
Don't go away. Let's talk about...
Stay right there, Gary.
The music says we got to take a break, but let's come back and talk about flu vaccines and Guillain-Barré in particular.
Okay.
Because you're right, it does sometimes happen. And even if it's only one in a million, if it happens to you, it's 100% for you.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's chat about that a bit.
All right. We'll be back with Gary and Rob and Bill in just a few moments, and you can get into the call queue as well. For Leading Edge Medicine, that number is 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Rid of this table sometime.
So that you can boogie.
We can all wear our cowboy boots and bring in my gun club Stetson and we'll dance.
That's right. Yes, we'll do a little bit of that. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon today. Dr. UMAT is off this weekend. And we've been talking with Gary about hand trimmers and then his question about the COVID vaccine. Causing Guillain-Barré.
I think this was a flu he's talking about. Is that true, Gary? A flu shot that gave you Guillain-Barré?
Yes, Gary? I got the shot. My feet started to burn.
Oh, wow.
And then it just traveled up my body. It stopped at my shoulders, so I never lost use to my hands, but everything below that was paralyzed.
Oh,
and
dear.
The pain is immeasurable and never goes away, and nothing can touch it.
Was that the COVID shot, Gary, or a flu shot?
No, flu vaccination.
Flu vaccination. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the first time I came across this with the flu shots was way back in mid-1970s, 77, 78, I think, is when the swine flu panic came through. And just as they did with the COVID, the government decided to rush a vaccine into production. Because the fear was the swine flu was going to sweep through the population and we'd have people dying like the 1918 influenza epidemic. And so the government put a big rush on it and we made the swine flu vaccine and they did it in a big, big hurry, which you think we'd have learned something before we did the COVID vaccine in the same great, big, big hurry. We used different technology, but the fact that we rushed without adequate testing... What happened was the swine flu was kind of a fizzle, did not lay waste to the population. Some people got pretty sick, but the death rate from the swine flu was really no higher on average than the standard flu flus that we've been having. But what happened was we had a large number of Guillain-Barré syndrome. People became paralyzed. And it was what we call an ascending paralysis. Started with the feet, worked its way up through the legs, the torso, and in some people, total paralysis. They lost the use of their arms and the whole thing. The good news is that most of the time, that vaccine-induced Guillain-Barré was temporary. They would get sicker and sicker and sicker for a few months, and then it started to improve. And first things to come back were the upper torso, and slowly... Over several months, the rest of the body responded. But that was the first time I became aware that flu vaccines can cause systemic paralysis and that particular version of it, the swine flu vaccine, paralyzed people. We did more harm with that version of the flu vaccine than the flu did that year. So the vaccine was horrible and the flu not so bad.
Age, not everything heals. I got back 90% of my function. I still have, drop foot and a few other things.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that I have left over is, I could only describe it as neuropathy. It's very painful feet, burning all the time. Can't stay on my feet for too long and the like. And I was just one... and. I've been looking for remedies for that. Is there anything I can do to stimulate the nerve growth or something? And I hear things on the radio all the time about these pain places that have all these treatments. And my regular doctor says most of them are just marketing techniques, and they're virtually useless. But I was just wondering, is there anything, you know, out there that you're aware of that is good for treating something like
neuropathy? There are things that sometimes help. There, I'm not aware of anything that is a guaranteed cure. Peripheral neuropathy is, once it's induced, once those nerves have been damaged, getting them to heal is difficult and iffy. I can give you a list of things that I have seen help sometimes, but not consistently. One is high-dose resveratrol. When I say high-dose, I mean 1,000 milligrams a day or so of resveratrol. Resveratrol has a salubrious effect on the microcirculation, the tiny, tiny blood vessels that surround the nerves and provide them with their nutrition. It improves the blood flow. And, you know, so that by improving the blood flow, you're kind of enhancing the nerves' ability to repair. The other thing is, as I mentioned before, with this formula in the Think Factor, this is a formulation that is designed specifically to help neurons function better. And in the head, in the brain, of course, that neuron function is connected to our cognitive health, and that's really what I designed it for. But things that help neurons, whether they are in our feet and legs or hands or our brains. And so, you know, the omega-3s, the lutein, zeaxanthin, these are important sorts of things that will often help peripheral nerves to function better. Interestingly, simple exercise, and I know that's hard to do with feet that hurt, but
I do again, it a lot anyway.
Good, because yes, walking, or if you can manage, even jogging, but getting the surrounding muscles working. Muscle produces over 600 proteins that are pro-growth, pro-healing, pro-repair, and you know, the muscles in your feet and legs are most effective at helping the neurologic function in your feet and legs. So walking, jogging, resistance training involving the feet and legs is a good thing to do. So, you know, going up on your toes, using, if you can, one foot to go up on tippy toe and hold it and then come down, and then the other foot, go up on tippy toe and hold it and come down. Stressing those muscles allows them to work and produce what we refer to as myokines. Those are the proteins designed for healing and repair.
Yeah, you're describing a lot of my workout routine. And I walk 5 miles to church every weekend and the like. So
good for you.
It hurts,
yeah.
But I do it anyway. But one thing that was interesting, though, this is supposed to be completely random, but when I was in physical therapy for this, they teamed me up with another guy who had Guillain-Barré. And it turned out he got the flu shot at the same clinic the same day I did. And if it's perfectly random, the odds against that are astronomical. So I don't know.
Pretty high. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the question, was there something about that particular batch of vaccines, some variation in the manufacture? And of course, I have no idea how you'd establish whether it was true or not. But
yeah, it
certainly makes you suspicious, doesn't it?
It does. It always has. He got it way worse than I did. Mine stopped in my chest. He had to go on a ventilator.
Oh,
so,
dear.
You know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what we found back in the 70s with the swine flu, is we had a fair number of ventilator-dependent people because of that particular version of the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah, doctors are now saying that they think that FDR had Guillain-Barré and not polio. So
well,
it's interesting.
Yeah, how we prove it this far up the road, I don't know, but it's certainly possible. You know, people don't realize...
Okay.
Dr. Mixon's four rules of medicine are always true. First rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There's going to be a downside to everything we do and every decision we make. Second rule, the proper dose of anything is just enough to do the job. As the dose increases, complications increase. Third rule, if you don't measure, you don't know. And the fourth rule, I hate. You can do everything right, and things can still go to hell. Welcome to Planet Earth.
Ah. All right, we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And Rob, we lost our connection with you. Please call us back. And Bill will be with you in just a few moments. If you'd like to get through today with a question for Dr. Mixon, here's that number. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Welcome to the show. We have quite a few questions about different things that we like to talk about on the show. And if you have a question about your health, longevity, and aging, because we all are, maybe a new symptom or a recent diagnosis, give us a call today. Let's talk about it with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Here's that number. It's 206-421-5757. Go ahead and get into that call queue. We're headed to Kirkland now, Dr. Mixon. We have Bill on the line.
Hello, Bill. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Question also about a vaccine, about the COVID vaccination. It's been a few years now. I got the original Pfizer one and two shots, and then as the pandemic wound down, I didn't feel the need to continue on with it. And I thought at the time it would be a good thing to do because, hey, it looked like you wouldn't be able to operate in the world unless you had the shots. And I have since not gotten any of the follow-on boosters. But I keep hearing more and more here or there in the news and on Amazon books to help you purge yourself of effects of the vaccination, like there could be future health issues if you don't do that. Is there anything to this talk about future effects that we know of? Are we hearing anything? Is that something I should even worry about, long-term effects of taking the vaccination?
We're hearing a whole lot. Based on very little in the way of firm knowledge. You know, human beings love to talk, and one of my mottos is, if you want to know what the causes are, follow the money. You know, usually when people are promising you miracles, the only miracle is the amount that their bank account gets fattened, right? You know, the messenger RNA involved in the COVID shot is a wild card in a lot of ways. I worry because people have the impression, I'm afraid, that because the messenger RNA to the spike proteins does not always do what we want it to do, sometimes does some bad stuff, that all messenger RNA gets smeared with that broad brush, and that is unnecessary. The result, the real life, is that we depend on messenger RNA every day of our lives. Every cell in your body is budding off exosomes and acellular vesicles that contain little dabs of messenger RNA that tell the rest of your body how that part of your body is functioning. There is a constant state of communication between your skin and your muscles and your bone and your brain and your heart and your lungs and your kidneys and every other part of you. And so these acellular vesicles and exosomes that our bodies are kicking out are the primary communication mechanism, and what's contained in those to carry the messages is messenger RNA. That's where it gets its name. It is the messenger our body uses for communication. And the bacteria in our gut, and what most folks don't realize is we have more bacteria in our bowel than we have cells in the rest of our body.
Wow.
And and those acellular vesicles getting kicked out by that bacteria are being absorbed by all the cells in our body, and the cells in our body are kicking out signals that are being absorbed by the bacteria. It's a symbiotic two-way street. And that's why when folks are talking about the bowel flora, what mix of bowel bugs you've got can impact heart disease and cancer and dementia and arthritis and everything else, is because we have this two-way communication. And different bugs are kicking out different messengers, and our bodies are absorbing them. So messenger RNA is not only useful, it is critical to our survival. It is critical for our development. And yes, the COVID shots use messenger RNA to the spike proteins on the COVID virus. And anything the disease can do to us, the vaccine can too. It's just that generally the vaccine does it a lot less often and less severe. So long COVID is directly proportional to how bad you got your COVID infection. But some people who got very mild infections still get long COVID, just not as many of them. And some people who got the vaccine and didn't get COVID at all still get long COVID symptoms.
Wow.
So, you know, nothing in this world is perfect. And the mixed blessing we have with the COVID vaccines is that when COVID first hit Europe and the U.S., the message we were getting from the research groups, from the Royal College of Surgeons and so on, is that this was an extremely dangerous version of SARS virus, and SARS had a 90%+ fatality rate, and that this virus might kill hundreds of millions of people, that the dead would be flooding in the streets, and we needed a vaccine, and we needed a vaccine today. And so, you know, Mr. Trump jumped on that and said, okay, if that's what we need, I'll make it happen. And he pulled out all the stops. He told the FDA and, you know, National Institute of Health, forget your normal testing. Do what you got to do to get us this vaccine right now. I don't want the bureaucrats in the way of the scientists. Let's make the vaccine. And they made a vaccine that usually takes 3 to 5 years in 8 months.
Wow.
So the virtue was when we were told that we had a existential threat that was going to kill off tens of millions of Americans, we developed a vaccine in record time. The downside, remember Dr. Mixon's first rule, anything strong enough to hurt? Well, the good news was we got a vaccine faster than anyone thought possible. The bad news is we didn't take the time to test it appropriately, and we got bit.
So the average person, if they're not experiencing symptoms at this point, probably shouldn't
not gonna get
be all
them.
That concerned.
You're probably not going to get them.
I even see books online about, hey, you can reverse this or that. I don't even know what to say about that.
If the messenger RNA is in your system, it is telling your body, reprogram yourself in this way, and it does it quickly. It does it within days, weeks, months at the worst. And if you're 3-4 years up the road and you're not getting symptoms, odds on you getting the symptoms are almost zip.
No, I feel for the gentleman a few calls before about the flu reaction, because in the late 90s, I too also served in the military and retired from it, and took the anthrax shot, and I was one of the unlucky few that had some symptoms. My arms swelled up, had rashes and headaches and strange fatigue for about 4 months, scared the heck out of me. And fortunately, it all resolved, but it leaves a psychological mark, and it made me more susceptible to wondering when I got the COVID, is there something to it? But and that, you actually answered a question there. If you haven't had symptoms by now, chances are, you know, you're going to be fine. I'm thinking about half our population took some form of that.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and I'm sure there'll be follow-on studies, but I appreciate your time, and I love your show. And thank you all again for your service.
Thank you very much, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Bye-bye. Bill. Very good. And we are going to be talking with Johnny in just a few moments and take some more phone calls. I'm going to give you that number. Here it is. It is 206-421-5757 to get through with your questions for Dr. Jerry Mixon. He's in the building today and in the studio. 206-421-5757. We'll take a quick break and then we will return to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.